Hello, this is Jonathan Frakes, and you're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery. Just a bit of housekeeping up front. Unfortunately, Judy is going to have to be taking a bit of time away from the podcast for personal reasons. So I just want to send all of our love to Jude, and he'll be back at some point very soon. But for now, what I'm going to be doing is getting some familiar faces back to keep us company. And I have to get back my one true love. Sorry, Jude. My one true love, Matt Warrick.
Help, I've been trapped in Wayne's cupboard for the last 6 years and he's just let me out.
Oh, and you're going back for another six. You're allowed your water and your biscuit, then you're going back.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you, mate. How are you keeping?
I'm all right. I mean, it really has been 6 years since we did this regularly.
It's crazy.
I mean, I know I've been on the show since then, but I mean, yeah, it was the start of 2015 when I stopped as a full-time host on the show. So
wow. That is nuts, because it's funny. I was going through some of the old YouTube stuff, and it's like, okay, me and you came back on a regular basis in 2014.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't believe that much time has gone. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like any sort of...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No. Time has this really weird, wibbly-wobbly way of seeming like it's long, but then in retrospect, when you think back on it, it doesn't. It's just flown.
It's because we're getting older, mate. It's always the same thing, isn't it? As you get older, time goes faster.
It's something about how the brain processes information. Yeah, when you're a kid, everything seems like it takes ages.
Yeah, remember when it was like the 6 weeks holidays? Whoa! 6 weeks off school, amazing.
He was off forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, 6 weeks off, you're back in no time. Oh, but still. So, what we're going to be doing today is, obviously, last time we spoke, we discussed how Q had been announced for Picard. And we thought it'd be nice to take a look back at all of the Q-centric episodes that have happened within Star Trek. And like share our thoughts and maybe put them in a bit of an order as like to our favourites. So yes, I'm glad to be discussing it with you, Matt. I'm so excited to be talking Trek with you again.
It's interesting. We're only a couple of minutes into the episode and we've started talking about Star Trek already. You can tell Jude's not here.
He is a bad influence. We haven't spoke about wrestling once. Yeah. No, whenever it's me, the thing is, right, you are like, you're the good boy. You're the one that keeps everything on track.
That's right.
But because me and Jude are both the bad boy, it just doesn't go nowhere near the track.
You feed off each other, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said that when I was on the episode where I was on as a guest, though, because I was the one forcing the discussion through. It's like, I'm the guest. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm the one with memory alpha on my screen. What are you two doing? Just sitting there going, oh, I don't really remember this.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. And then...
What was that character's name again?
This is why we're both crap at the Trek-Off And most discussions go back to Back to the Future or...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's it. Oh, no. So, no, we're going to keep on topic, Matt.
Okay, let's do it.
So, shall we go... We was just discussing this off air, and we was thinking maybe we discuss this in chronological order first.
Yeah.
And then we can discuss where we think we would rank them in, like our... Maybe top five. I think top 10, you would end up keeping the majority of them in. So I think if we make it shorter, it's like a top five, then that knocks out about like a bit of the iffy ones.
Well, one of the things that got me when I looked this up is just how few episodes there are with Q actually in, especially in Voyager. There's only three episodes. I thought there were like four or five.
It's weird, isn't it? Because Q is one of those characters like... Gowron, or like that sort of level of character where you just assume they're in far more episodes than they are, and that's probably just a testament to how much of an impact they make.
I think there's also that the Q episodes tend to be the better episodes, so you rewatch them more.
You probably are right.
I mean, if you were to get, like, I don't know, stats of the VHS videos that were sold back in the day when each VHS only had two episodes on, I would bet a lot of money the Q episodes were among the highest selling tapes.
And that's probably the same for Netflix. They could pull them stats seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be interesting. Whether anyone at Netflix is bothering to curate those sorts of stats or not.
I doubt it. I'd probably look at the series as a whole, but I would doubt they go to individual episodes.
Yeah. What? Fuck it. They should. But saying that, I don't know how long Netflix are going to keep hold of Star Trek on there, like if Paramount Plus is coming this way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I was just about to say CBS All Access, but it's not called that anymore, is it?
No. It's Paramount Plus, but
it's PP. PP is what it is.
It's a load of PP.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they've put off releasing Paramount Plus in other territories until those contracts actually are coming to...
Yeah, probably. I mean, when have Amazon got Discovery Netflix have got Discovery in this country, haven't they? And then Amazon have got Picard. That's weird as well.
Yeah. And the thing is, if they're going to be wanting to really push their service, they're going to be wanting those, okay, I'm really, really using inverted commas here, flagship shows.
Mm.
Yeah. They're going to be wanting them on their own service, aren't they? So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how many more seasons they're all signed up for and how long they're going to have that catalogue for, because they're definitely going to want it on Paramount Plus. So, obviously, the first episode that Q enters is the very first episode of TNG with Encounter at Farpoint. At what point did you watch Encounter at Farpoint, Matt? Had you been watching a lot of Trek? Because I doubt you'd gone in episode
one. No. I'd never seen the original series. I think at the point of TNG coming on TV over here, would have been, what, 89, 90 on BBC Two? And I'd seen the odd movie on TV at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, you know, the earlier ones like Motion Picture After Khan. Because I remember watching Encounter at Farpoint in this house downstairs on the big TV before we had flat screens, and when the theme music played, I turned to my dad and I was like, that's the same theme music that was in the film. So yeah, I do remember that. So, but I don't remember really understanding what was going on, because I'd only been about 10 or 11 at the time anyway, so some of the plot elements were a bit over my head, but I you know, obviously enjoyed it, and I stuck with the show for the rest of the seven seasons, so it must have made an impression on me. I've recently rewatched this, actually, because Karen and I are doing a full TNG rewatch at the moment. We're about halfway through season 3, So I've only watched Encounter at Farpoint like last month. It's not a bad episode, but it's a bit clunky, isn't it?
It's definitely a bit clunky, but at the same time, I think I'm quite forgiving of Encounter at Farpoint because of it definitely holds that nostalgia value for us. Because yeah. I never watched it first run round, because when it would have first come over here, I would have only been about five. And I didn't get into TNG until later on. So I think I'm pretty positive my first experience of Encounter at Farpoint was when I bought the VHS.
Right.
And then you know what it's like when you got a VHS. You end up watching it multiple times because you don't have the selection of things. That costs you £9 for that one episode.
And there were only 4 TV channels at the time.
Well, that's it.
Now catch up.
That's it. Funnily enough, that comes to... okay, we're going off on a tangent. I was having a discussion the other day with someone about how we have like these... if all of us, like if you grew up in the UK, there is cultural points of reference that everyone can like go back to, whether it's Only Fools and Horses, whether it's Noel's House Party, whether it's Gladiators, whether it's all these things. I don't know if we're going to have that as much going forward in the future, just because of the amount of variety of stuff that there is.
Well, I said no, but I don't know, because there are certain things that have become cultural phenomenons even today with the amount of choice there is. I mean, look at Game of Thrones.
True.
Ignoring the end of it, you know, while it was on, it was, you know, the show that everyone was watching. I don't know. I think there is still room for that. It just needs to be a spectacular show.
You're probably right, because obviously, if you look at more recent ones, like obviously there's Tiger King, there's Line of Duty, there's all of like those sorts of shows. But I think where back in the day, you could quote any like second rate show and most people would know it just because did not have the choice.
Yeah. I mean, if you quote, for example, someone of a certain age, a line from Red Dwarf or a line from Blackadder, they will know what it is.
Yeah.
Because everyone will have seen it.
Even if they weren't fans of it, most people will recognise lines from certain shows like that. Yeah. So it,
you know, Smeghead, oh, that's Red Dwarf. Never seen an episode, but you just know that's the insult from Red Dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So no,
I've got a cunning plan. Blackadder.
It'll be interesting. I think you're definitely right, though. There are still going to be those cultural reference points.
Yeah.
But so anyway, Encounter at Farpoint.
Yeah, let's get back. So average episode, but needs to introduce all the characters, so it does that quite well. But then obviously we're here to talk about Q. So he's not the Q who we come to know later on. He's not the mischievous Q. At this point, he's just a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's definitely, as you said, he's not as fleshed out. They don't know where they're going to go with him as much. He is someone who does not wish well upon humanity. It's interesting, going forward, I just want to get your take on this whilst we're here, because obviously they've teased him coming back with Picard season 2, and supposedly the trial never ended. What's your thoughts on that? On getting him back, going back to the trial of humanity when Picard no longer should represent humanity because really he's dead and there's an android?
Yeah, I wonder if that's... I don't know what to expect from season 2, but the fact that we know Whoopi Goldberg is coming back and we know John DeLancey is coming back, I think it's going to be possibly an exploration of his consciousness, that's not the right word, an exploration of his life now that he's not human. And it wouldn't surprise me if Q makes him human again at the end of the season, to be honest, or something like that, you know.
I'm expecting at some point to have Picard just upgrade into some 26-year-old body. So then
we'll get Tom Hardy back.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Get him to
shave his head off and get him to reprise his role.
I'm very fearful of that's just where they're going to go with it, because I don't trust CBS whatsoever.
Yeah, don't forget that Patrick Stewart is still on as an executive producer, so he does have a little bit of leeway, clout, as it were, to tell people, you know, I don't want to do that. So maybe his influence may steady the ship a bit, but who knows? We're just guessing, aren't we? We won't know anything. I mean, there'll be a trailer at some point, so we can analyse that when it comes out, but for now we're just making, you know, complete pot shots.
Supposedly, they've just started filming. Mm. They've just started filming. So if they started filming now, I'm probably not expecting to see this till, what, 2022?
Oh, it's not. I thought they had announced that it was next year.
Oh, had they? I haven't actually. Yeah. I haven't looked up a date. I just assumed it was going to be next year because, like, of production and post production.
Yeah, the season is expected to premiere on Paramount Plus in 2022.
Yeah, so probably first quarter. Yeah, probably first quarter. But yeah, with the whole COVID of it all, I wouldn't expect it to be any sooner than that. But no, well, at least we've got more shit to look forward to.
I don't want to get into that because I enjoy it. Let's just carry on. So yeah, Q, bad guy, not well developed, but overall not a bad episode.
Yep. No.
Let's move on.
Yep. Okay then, Matt. What's
let's keep
next?
This ship going.
What's next, Matt?
Warp 9. Hyde and Q is next. So you don't like this, do you?
No, it's not like I don't like it. I just think it's probably one of the weaker episodes.
I would agree. It wouldn't be at the bottom of my list, but I agree it is one of the weaker Q episodes. I think they're still floundering a little bit with what to do with the character at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see elements of his playfulness starting to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole, you know, he gets them to play a game.
Yeah.
And the way at the end of the episode he appears as a monk after Riker has rejected his powers. You know, so I think that those are the seeds of I don't want to say modern Q, because even that is 20, 25 years ago, but
yeah,
of what Q becomes in later seasons, you can see his mischievous side starting to appear.
And it is obviously the first hintings of a recurring thing that comes back later on of Q wanting to take Riker under his wing.
Indeed.
So, which...
In fact, Q in this episode reminds me more of Trelane, because
mm-hmm.
they said that apparently Gene Roddenberry liked the character of Trelane, reworked it a little bit, and brought that character back as Q in Next Gen. And the Q in this episode is a lot more like Trelane in TOS
mm-hmm.
Than he was either before or after. He developed into much more of a comic character after this point. But if you watch The Squire of Gothos and see, like, Trelane's, the way he presents himself and the way he challenge, you know, I challenge you to a duel and all that mm-hmm. kind of thing. That's very much like how Q is in this episode, I think.
Which is, which very much does stem the fan theories of Trelane being a Q.
Yeah.
Because the personality is that much similar, as you said, in this episode.
Well, in the books he is, isn't he? Trelane is a Q in one of the books.
I haven't ever read many of the books.
I can't remember which one it is. I've got it somewhere. Mm. But yes, it's clearly shown that. I think it's one where he causes, like, multiple realities to happen and then they merge together,
mm-hmm.
Which Trelane does. And because he was exiled from the Continuum the same as Q was. I'm going to have to look it up now because it's going to annoy me. You talk away while I investigate.
So do you think... Okay, so in Squire of Gothos, Trelane was played as ends up being a child.
Yes.
So could it be that obviously the Q continuum doesn't have children until Q and female Q in Voyager touch fingers and have a baby at the end?
Yes.
Could he have ended... I know, but saying that in Voyager, they show his child in the later episode, don't they?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Yeah. I don't know. We're probably overthinking it. But yeah, the book, it's Q Squared is the book, mm-hmm. which came out in 1994. And I've got a copy in my bookcase behind me somewhere. Here we go. Q appears and comes to Picard for help. Apparently, another member of the Q Continuum has tapped into an awesome power source that makes this being more powerful than the combined might of the entire Q Continuum. This renegade Q is named Trelane, who Captain Kirk and his crew first encountered over 100 years ago. Q explains that armed with this incredible power, Trelane has become unspeakably dangerous. So obviously, it's not at all canon because it's a book.
Yeah.
But he certainly leaned on that fan theory and just decided to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I remember it being a good read. I'm tempted to read it again, talking about it, to be honest.
I wish I had the patience to read more books. I'm much more of an audiobook kind of person. There aren't many books that I would just absolutely devour. They end up mainly being biographies, and normally Michael J. Fox. But so, okay, so the next episode is Q Who.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yes. Obviously, this is the introduction, which kicks off... One second. Why am I... I was doubting myself for a second.
It's the Borg
episode. It is the Borg episode. I was like, wait, is it? No, it is the Borg episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, kicks off everything that... like so much of Star Trek will end up using later on. And we get the first glimpse of a history between Q and Guinan.
Yeah, which is never really touched upon again, except in the next episode, which we'll get onto. But I don't think it's mentioned again after that point, is it?
No, but that's why I think it is...
I'm wondering, it'll probably come up again in Picard, won't it, if they're both in the show?
I think that at this point, with Guinan being confirmed and Q being confirmed, I don't know if you listened to the last episode, Matt, but I'm...
No, it's still on my player waiting to be listened to, so...
I personally think that in the season two of Picard, we are going to finally see a death battle between Guinan and Q. Guinan's going to finally
be... No, that's going to work. Because I don't think she's that powerful, really, is she? Other than the fact that her race lives a long time. I don't really know what their powers are.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. She was threatening him with claws in this episode. So
she was.
I think she's going to be like Raiden. she's going to be the Emperor from Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Although let's just take a step back a bit. So this is one of the many episodes that has the letter Q in the title, mm-hmm. right? And I always some of them I just can't figure out. So we'll go through them as we go. But we've just missed Hide and Q, so mm-hmm. that's obviously supposed to be a play on Hide and Seek, I would imagine.
Yes.
Although I'm not sure what Hide and Seek has to do with this episode,
mm-hmm.
but there you go. And then this one is Q Who. Now, other than it being Q Who. I don't know what they could be going for.
Yeah. Okay. So they normally have a play on words.
Yeah. So they're saying hello to the Borg for the first time and going yoo-hoo.
Or is it like knock knock, like who's there? Q who? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't get it.
No. Yeah. No. No. But. Yeah, no, because there's no sort of either reference to the Borg or anything within there.
No, exactly. I just don't understand the name for this episode at all.
But could you say the same for True Q?
Well, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
But yes.
So, yeah, okay. So so Q in this one pretty much claims that he's doing them a favour by trying to
yeah.
warn them about how bad the galaxy is.
It's an interesting development, isn't it? Because the way he turns up there is he's saying, basically, I was bored and had nothing better to do. So I thought I'd come and see you because you know, we had good times together. I want to be part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Picard rebuffs him, which pisses him off a bit and makes him say, okay, well, you definitely aren't prepared, so yeah. I'll show you how much you need me. But is that some a kind of insecurity on his part to say, what? How dare they say that they don't need me?
Well, yeah, I definitely think it is an insecurity because Q, he's a god. He wants people to worship him. And to not get that sort of satisfaction of like someone being like in awe of him, it absolutely winds him up. But with Q, though, it's funny because obviously they can travel between time and space. If he really wanted humanity to love him, he only needs to travel back a few hundred years to convince everyone.
Yeah.
I think he just fancies Picard.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Oh, he's one of the only men that could turn me gay. That's absolutely sure. So anything else you want to touch on within Q Who?
I don't think so. We got a little bit of the element of playfulness again in the way he convinces Picard to talk to him, where he just sits in the shuttle. And while he's waiting, he's just sitting there playing with his ball, you know. So that element of the character is still there. But it does seem like they're starting to soften the edges off him a little bit, the harsh edges. And I think John DeLancey, by this point, is starting to get a bit more of a handle on how to play the character.
Well, that's the thing. And obviously, coming back for like the third time, you can see that he more than likely is going to be brought back again.
Yeah.
So, and as you said, he's probably been given a little bit more freedom to play like how he plays him. So the next episode up is Deja Q.
Love this. Absolutely love this. This is where he becomes, I think, the Q we all know and love at this point.
And
John DeLancey's just got it nailed, you know, the way he plays him, not only as a arrogant / mischievous god who doesn't have his powers, but also as someone who is starting to realise that the situation he's in, the universe doesn't revolve around him, which is what he's used to.
Yeah. Because for anyone who is having a mind burp, this is the episode that Q loses his powers and becomes human and realizes just how hard everyone has it.
It's a fun fact about this episode, that the scene at the beginning where he appears on the bridge, he actually did film that fully naked.
Oh.
Because they couldn't get his bits to be hidden correctly while he was like lying on his side like that, so he just went, forget it, it's in one of the trivia sections on, I think it's on Memory Alpha.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see the full film of that.
That's it. The whole outtakes there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this is where Q actually gets a chance to interact with members of the crew far more than what he had done previously.
But mainly Data and the relationship that they form, or the bond that they form throughout the episode. I mean, Data's obviously just coming at it from an objective point of view because he doesn't have any feelings to cloud his judgment.
Mm-hmm.
He's just... he could be telling the truth, so I may as well proceed under the assumption that he is. Whereas everyone else on the crew is like, well, he's tormented us before, and we're in this situation now that he could quite easily have caused with the moon heading towards the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So why should we believe him? He's turned up at this exact moment just to, you know, be a nuisance and to cause all this trouble, and then at the end he'll just click his fingers and it'll all be back to normal. I only watched this episode like 3 days ago, so that's why it's so fresh in my mind.
I was going to say, have you got to this point in season three?
This is where we've got to.
Excellent. And it really is a good episode.
No, it's brilliant. Oh, I love it. I'll have 10 chocolate sundaes.
Yeah, honestly, Troy would be proud.
So, there are some other great lines in that. It's... where he's hurt his back. That's brilliant.
Mm.
In engineering. I love that scene. Or how do we fix this problem? easy. Let's change the gravitational constant of the universe. I can't do that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, so simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and obviously, this is where he parts Data with a gift of laughter.
Which is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So, did we talk about the name Deja Q? We can figure this one out.
Yeah.
This one's easy. Just Deja Vu.
Deja Vu.
But I don't know why it's called Deja Vu.
Because...
what's that got to do with the plot? Or the crew think it's Deja Vu because he's just doing the same odd thing he's done before.
What's that? Yeah. No, because it really, you could call all good things Deja Q.
You could do.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, up to his old tricks.
Yeah. This is the first episode where we actually see another Q, isn't it?
Yes.
We hear another Q at the end of Hiding Q because they zap him away at the end, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I think we see another Q.
Do they ever at any point mention how many Qs there are?
Oh, I don't know. That's I don't know if it may be mentioned in the Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
In Voyager, but I don't know.
Because also, it's with Qs, right?
If you just Google how many Q are there, it just says 9.
That's just how many we've seen.
Because someone's posted on Stack Exchange,
yeah,
asking how many there are. The Q continuum is an extra-dimensional plane of existence inhabited by a race of beings known as the Q. The term could also refer to the Q society itself. Per Memory Alpha, we're told of 8 individual Q, plus the addition of Riker's temporary promotion to Q status, brings the total number to 9. Q, Q2, who's the one we see in this episode,
mm-hmm.
Quinn, who we see in Voyager, female Q, who we see in Voyager, Q Colonel, is that Voyager as well?
I think so, yeah.
That's in the Q, that's, yeah. Q Junior, who is his son.
Yeah.
Q the Judge, William T. Riker, temporary.
Yeah.
And Amanda Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that Amanda Rogers,
she had two
Amanda
parents.
Rogers' parents were Q as well. So that's another couple.
Yeah.
So there's got to be more than that.
They're definitely.
Oh, here we go. And someone said, we know of at least 20.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how many. But I wonder, with the Q being like omnipotent beings, like sharing, like almost like, do you think, because they know all, surely they know all that each other knows as well.
I mean, you'd think so, wouldn't you? That they've been around for so long, they should all know the same thing.
Yeah. So you don't think, like, maybe they're all a bit like the changelings in the sense of one, like, just individual parts of a bigger whole?
They don't act like that because of the way they, like, expel. Mind you, the changelings did that to Odo, didn't they? So
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. Are they all intertwined, like a collective consciousness, or are they all individual entities? My gut feeling tells me that they're all individuals because other Q don't approve of what this Q does.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So
yeah, no, you're probably right.
Who knows, really?
Yeah, that's it. It's all make believe.
Yeah, we were overanalyzing it.
Yeah, but that's what.
But that means that's what Star Trek fans do.
Yeah, exactly.
If we didn't overanalyze things, there'd be no Trek, mate.
Well, that's it. If you didn't overanalyze things, there wouldn't be any fucking Star Trek fandom whatsoever. It's what they've been doing since the 60s. So, okay, so next episode up was Cupid.
Yeah, this one's, again, easy to figure out, Cupid.
Yeah.
Because it's about love.
Exactly.
And Picard and Vash. But, I love this. This is so funny. The whole Robin Hood
mm-hmm.
thing is just... it's just brilliant. And the casting of the various characters, you know, having Geordi not being able to play the mandolin. And Worf is real Scarlet just coming along and whacking it in a tree, you know.
I am not a
mate. Protest. Yeah. You know, I'll have you know, I'm the best swordsman in all of Nottingham. and then his response, I'm not from Nottingham. At the end, so...
This is right up there. This is one of the most fun episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the first one where Q is not putting them in danger, really.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just for his own amusement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, any, you know, by the end of it, you know, there's no danger of them. Because I'm sure if one of them got killed in the thing, he would have just brought them all back at the end, you know, and said, haha, all very good, you know, nice,
yeah,
fun thing. So, did any of them die? I haven't seen this for a while because I haven't got to it yet. Like, none of them do get.
I'm pretty certain they don't. Anything, do they? I'm pretty certain they don't. No, because this isn't like a heavy episode. This is very, very light. And also, I like it because it's also returning Vash as well. Yeah. And at that point, Vash only becomes she's not as good in Deep Space Nine as she is in the TNG episodes.
No. But it's an interesting development getting them to wander off together at the end,
mm-hmm.
Which we'll get back to in a bit. I think, I don't know if they just didn't know what to do with Vash's character. And they just thought, oh, I'll just send her away with Q. That'll sort it out.
I have a feeling that they kind of palmed her off because they backed away from, they got scared of the idea of allowing Picard to get close to someone.
Mm.
And didn't want him to be involved with someone. He's meant to be like in love with the ship more than anyone else. And that's just a running thing through all of TNG. Like every time Picard comes close to having a relationship, no, it's duty over everything else.
There was an episode I was watching the other day, and I can't remember which one it was, but he was in his ready room with someone, and they said, "Do you have a family, Picard?" And he went, "Oh, this is all very interesting, but let's carry on talking about something else." You know, you can tell how uncomfortable and how pointless he sees it. So,
yeah, no. So they don't want him, and the thing is, as well, a character like Vash is a sort of one that would have brought out that side in Picard.
Yeah.
It make him break the mold a bit. So yeah, they definitely wouldn't have wanted Vash to have stuck around for any longer than she would have had to. Yeah. So, and I wonder how long him and Vash are actually traveling for, because Vash hasn't actually aged by the time that she gets to Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, but that could be, I mean, Q can manipulate time, can't he? So you don't know. They could have been traveling together for you know, 25, 30
thousand million years. Yeah.
And she could still look exactly the same age. I doubt it was that long, but yeah.
Yeah. No, interesting. Next one is one of my favourite episodes, True Q.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, two seasons between this one and the last one. Q isn't in season 5.
Is season 5 the only season without a Q episode?
Yeah, in TNG, yeah.
I wonder whether that was on purpose or just they got so far through and it's like, oh shit, we forgot a Q episode.
Or they just couldn't think of a story. Or this was a story that they had in mind for season 5 and had trouble developing it, so it got rolled over.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know, do you? Yeah. I do quite like this episode. It has cute puppies in it.
Yeah, I know. I love Amanda Rogers.
Do you know?
And her cute puppies.
Yeah.
The
only thing, there's one thing that annoys me about this episode, though, and it's the way every time she uses her powers,
mm-hmm.
she does this fun little thing with her hand. It's like, why does she do that? She doesn't need to do that.
Just click.
She doesn't even need to do that. Really?
No.
She probably does the click just to go, look what I can do. Ha ha, I'm amazing. Yeah. And in fact, when the puppies appear, she doesn't do that funny thing because she just thinks about the puppies and they appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. So, she doesn't need to do it. I think she just thinks it looks cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives a little bit of that Bewitched vibe. She couldn't twitch her nose, so she has to swish her fingers.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
But, yeah, and once again, it's another Q episode where Riker is quite a big focus, but not from Q this time round.
Oh, yeah, from her perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the name sort of makes sense, True Q, because she's a Q. She didn't know it, so she's a True Q. So I suppose that sort of makes sense. But I don't know what pun or whatever they were going for with
mm-hmm.
True Q. Or they just thought, oh, True sounds like Q.
Yeah.
So we'll just go with that.
It rhymes. That's it.
Yeah. Q's personality in this is a bit odd, isn't it? Because he's there for a reason. It's not like some of the other episodes where he just pops in because he wants to have a bit of fun.
No, he's been sent.
He's got a specific agenda. Yeah, he's been sent there by the Continuum to investigate Amanda. So he's very purposeful in this episode.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a side of him that I'm not sure. I don't know if I like it or not. It's an interesting character development, I suppose. But it's good to know that he does have. Because in some of the early episodes, you know, the way the Continuum kicked him out, it's funny how there in this episode he goes to being, I don't want to say their errand boy, but he, you know, they send him on a mission and he does it for the Continuum, which considering how much of a love-hate relationship he's had with them over the last few episodes, it's quite surprising, I suppose, in a way.
And I'm assuming it's pretty much because, he's seeing this through because he's having to be a good boy. He's having to be a good Q. Yeah, exactly. So he's got to play by the rules, and that's why they particularly sent this Q. And it is a fun episode.
It is. It's got some nice moments.
Yeah.
Is it the only time you get to see someone standing on the hull of the Enterprise D?
That is. Yeah, I suppose the next time we see someone walking on the exterior is in First Contact on the E.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just something that obviously, budget-wise, wasn't there in TNG.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like that episode. And then next we get the big hitter.
Oh, this is great.
The big hitter. Tapestry. Which... is there you go, Matt. It's an episode without Q in the title.
I know, but it's a good one, and it's a good name. You know, unraveling the tapestry of one's life, showing you how a single decision you make at one point can drastically change how your life, you know, is woven, however you want to put it. I mean, it's again an interesting character development for Q because he's in this episode because he wants to help Picard.
That's what
at first you think when he appears as God, you think, oh God, you know, what's he doing now? But by the end of the episode, you realize that he's only done what he's doing because he wanted to save Picard's life, presumably, because I don't know, it's not made clear in the episode, but I would get the impression that if Q didn't step in, Picard probably would have died. But also to make him realize that any regrets that he had, he shouldn't have regrets about them because they've made him the man he is at that point in his life.
And that's the thing. It's one of those episodes that does make you consider your own life we all have those sorts of, if I had just done this, then that would have been good. Or if I had not done that when I was younger, those things are what give your life the course that it's on.
Yeah, and you don't know what would be different. You know, you can only guess, and it's pointless guessing because it's not going to make any difference to the actual situation you're in. So,
and it turns out in Picard's case, it was just turned him into a wimp.
Yeah. Wearing a science uniform.
Yeah, that's it. Someone who doesn't take risks.
But was still on the Enterprise, amazingly.
Yeah, he was obviously good enough.
He'd have been like, yeah, you thought they'd have had him in some like random starbase just in the middle of nowhere, just walking around doing soil samples or something all day.
That's it. Yeah, no, he's obviously got himself to a point that he can operate on the flagship of the Enterprise, so he isn't doing that bad for himself.
Well, do they ever say what his job is? Is he just a random scientist? I mean, you'd have thought he would have been like a historian or something, wouldn't you?
You would have thought. Did they say he wasn't a botanist, was he? I'm trying to think what.
I'm just looking. His life is incredibly different. He's an assistant astrophysics officer.
Assistant astrophysics.
Yeah, with Worf as his immediate supervisor. That's weird, isn't it? Why would Worf be supervising an astrophysics officer? What has astrophysics got to do with security?
You would have thought it'd be Data, wouldn't you? But saying that, Data's not even the head of science.
Yeah.
I think Riker's...
You just thought there'd have been a chain of command before he got to a member of the bridge crew, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... you're right, that is weird. I think Riker's really... As much as we credit Riker for being a great first officer, he's got really fucked up ways of staffing people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see a diagram. If I bet someone's made a diagram of the chain of command of the Enterprise, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, you've got random ensigns reporting into the first officer, and then someone who's a lieutenant has, like, three people above them before you get to the captain.
Yeah. I think, do you know what I think it is? I think for the chain of command, Riker just literally sits there, puts everyone's name on a bingo ball, and just rolls it out to figure out who's got who. But yeah, no, well, that's the thing. Even Geordi would have made more sense than Worf.
Yeah, as an engineer, at least that's in the science division.
Yeah, very, very peculiar.
No, I mean, none of the senior officers apart from Troy have a blue uniform, do they? So
No, because that's the thing with the Enterprise. You didn't have that Spock character in the sense of...
Yeah.
You know, the head of science. So... Yeah, no, I never realised that, Matt. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. I can't type in chain of command for Star Trek because it just gives me the episode, so there's no real...
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. So let's move on.
Yes. So the last TNG episode is the last TNG episode, All Good Things, which is... Yeah, I'm not sure. Whenever I compare Star Trek episodes, I always feel bad including All Good Things because it's like top trumps. It's like All Good Things is like the card that's always got the stacked deck.
I don't follow you.
Oh, like whenever you're playing top trumps, there's always one card that has like 10 on everything.
Yeah. Because it's
It is the best episode, and I
disagree.
Oh really? I love this episode so much.
No, so don't get me wrong, I do like it a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's the best episode of TNG, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, for me it is, and I think that once again I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Absolute sucker for nostalgia. So okay then, how is it, what do you think of this episode then, Matt?
Oh, it's a good 9 out of 10. I mean, it's great. But the thing about Q's involvement is the entire episode wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Q.
Mm-hmm.
All his stuff about moving Picard through the different timelines, that's what created the incident, the anomaly, however you want to call it, in the first place. So if Q hadn't have started doing that, then none of it would have happened anyway.
No.
But it's an interesting, you know, you have to wonder, why did he do that? Was it just so he could instill a sense of something in Picard that would make him go to the poker game at the end? Who knows?
Well, that's it. It's, you have to assume that it is only to try and get Picard to learn something, because he's the only person that experiences the entire event. It's not like anyone else ever experiences it.
Yeah.
So there isn't any real sense of danger in that sense, because you never know. If Picard had fucked up and still not got it, Q might have still been like, never mind.
Yeah. Again, the danger is entirely manufactured by Q.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Picard's actions generated the danger, but he was only in that situation because Q put him in that in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm still a bit iffy on his motivations, to be honest, but... he's a mixture of the different kinds of Q we've seen throughout Next Gen again, isn't he? You know, we go back to the beginning of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's the bad side of him. There's the side of him that cares about Picard specifically,
yeah,
I suppose, and wants to teach him a lesson. There's the side of him that is the mischievous side of him, you know, giving him a mystery to solve by making him jumping through all the time periods all the time, making him play this game to try and figure out what's going on. So yeah, it's a good Q episode.
Because then you're right though, it does play on all of the aspects of Q that we've seen from from Encounter Farpoint, from Hyde and Q, from a Tapestry. So and it is. the episode very much is about that relationship between him and Picard.
Yeah.
As well. And also gives us the brilliant visualizations of when he's showing Picard different points in history and the beginning of the universe, first life on Earth, and how Picard fucked it all, but really it's just Q.
Yeah. No. It's all his fault.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I rank this quite high in my personal list. But I can see where you're coming from.
No, I mean, it'll probably be in my top 10 or top 15 episodes of TNG. Don't get me wrong. I do, but I don't think it's the best. And I don't necessarily think it's the best Q episode either, from my point of view.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get there.
Get there, yeah.
So, actually, thinking about it, I had said that Hyde and Q was probably my weakest episode. Q-less actually trumps that.
Yeah, it's just shoehorned in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So again, Q-less, what does that mean? What does it mean, Wayne? Explain it to me.
Because this episode definitely is not Q-less.
No, it's Q...
Full.
Full, yeah. Q-full.
Yeah, no, and no one's really any less of anything because of Q.
Yeah. It's just basically the writers were like, we've got all these people who are shitting on DS9. We need to get some way of making them watch it. I know. Let's bring in one of the most popular characters from Next Generation and put him in this space station and see what happens.
And I know what, mate, I've got it. I know what the reference is. Q-less is in, we are getting a lesser Q in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they could be saying that there would be less of a queue to buy this video at the video shop.
More than likely, this will...
You queue less for this episode.
This will be in the bargain bin in game.
Yeah. I mean, if I was to give this episode a numerical rating, it would be a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. It's okay.
I don't think it's not terrible, don't get me wrong, but it's just not what we... I mean, Q in this episode is just mischievous and just a joke, isn't he, really? He's just joking around for the sake of joking around.
Yeah.
It's like they wanted to make a light episode, and they thought, what character can we bring in who's a bit funny? We'll bring in Q, and they just made him over the top.
Yeah.
You know, fighting Sisko in Quarks, you know, like
1920s
pugilists. Yeah, Picard never punched me.
Yeah.
But nice to see Vash back. But again, I think that was just them wrapping up that story and thinking, oh, crap, we've got to do something with her. Let's just take her back to, let's put her in DS9 in this episode because we've got to take her somewhere. In fact, this is probably why there was no TNG Season 6 Q episode, because this episode would have, no, that during Season 5, because maybe, no, in fact, I'm talking nonsense, because there was a Season 6 episode, because the first season of DS9 was broadcast at the same time as Season 6 of Next Gen, wasn't it?
One second. Q-less came out February 8th, 1993.
Tapestry.
True Q was 92. Tapestry was February 15th. They literally came out a week apart in 93.
Wow, okay. Interesting.
So it's Season 6, season...
I wonder if that was intentional then. 15th of February 1993.
Yes.
So the next episode of...
Yeah, so it's 1992 that they missed a Q episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So is it... Yeah, so True Q. Oh, no. Okay, wait, how are the...
No, Q-less was 6th of Feb 93, and then it was Face of the Enemy... TNG, then Dax for DS9.
Oh, no, that's what...
So there were two or three episodes between them, but they were in the same month, February 93.
February 93. I tell you what it is, mate, is I think you was right with regards to Season 5 not having a Q episode, is because Season 6 has got two Q episodes.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a question of they didn't fit it in.
Yeah, it must have been a story they were developing but couldn't get it in before the end of the season, so they carried it over.
Yeah, because True Q was episode 6, came out November 92. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. But,
there you go.
Yeah. No, Q-less is, yeah, just...
It's watchable, but it's you know, you wouldn't skip it in a rewatch, but no. You wouldn't... It's not an episode that I don't think many people go out of their way to watch.
No, definitely not. unlike the next episode,
good one.
Which is a very, very good one.
So yeah, Death Wish. It's I mean, if we're talking about this from a perspective of Q and his motivation, it's again he's gone back to this standpoint of he wants to do what's right for the continuum. He's gone back to where he was in True Q by doing what the continuum have told him and trying to, you know, stop Q2 or Quinn or whatever you want to call him from doing what he wants to do in order to save the continuum. Because he thinks that's the right thing to do. You can tell from his actions in this episode that he genuinely thinks that by stopping Quinn from doing what he wants to do, that he will ensure the continuation of the continuum.
And you're right, at this point, Q very much has become almost like... before, he was always sort of a thorn in the continuum side.
Yeah.
However, now he does genuinely seem to be caring more about actually the preservation of the continuum.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if there is a hierarchy of, you know, governance or, you know, who's in charge of the continuum. Are they all at the same level or are some more powerful than others?
Mm-hmm.
Not as in powerful as in what they can do, but powerful as in there are some that tell the others what to do.
A hierarchy.
A hierarchy, yeah. Or is Q traversing up that hierarchy from the low of being disbanded from the continuum
mm-hmm.
back in Deja Q as he worked his way back up through the ranks to become an authoritative figure in the continuum? And you get the impression from this that he is, because he's taking part in this important trial. So
definitely. And also,
yes,
we get to see Riker again. As well.
Although he doesn't remember it, so, you know.
Q very much has a thing for Riker.
He loves him.
He does.
It's the beard. He loves the beard.
No, we've got it down. He has a thing for beards and bald heads.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's a lot
so
of...
So if he'd have turned up later on in DS9, he'd have had a field day.
That's it. He just went there too soon.
He did.
So, next episode up is The Q and the Grey.
So, yeah, this shows that the Q continuum didn't fall apart completely, but there's a civil war. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how, you know, which side of the fence he falls on. The status mm-hmm. quo side or the, no, we're the continuum, we should expand and do new things
mm-hmm.
kind of side. I like this episode. I've not seen it in a long time, to be honest. So I can't remember a lot about it.
I'm trying to remember, because where does it appear in the seasons? Is it season four?
Season three. The main things I can remember about this episode are the Western
mm-hmm.
Western American motif
yeah.
of the American Civil War, and the, in inverted commas, sex scene
yeah.
between Q and the female Q.
That is hysterical. I know.
Was it good for you?
Yeah. It's the whole build-up of him wanting Janeway to have his baby. And then at the end, she the look of, oh, I could have done that.
It reminds me a bit of, you know, Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Where they're like, let's have sex, and it's just like putting these headsets on.
Yeah. It's like, what, we haven't even touched? I tell you what, I nearly rewatched Demolition Man the other day.
They did some people at work did like a Netflix watch along with it the other day, where, you know, people would all just start watching the film at the same time.
Excellent.
And there'd be like a Zoom chat talking to each other. So,
so good. The three scenes.
Fresh in my mind.
Yeah. I've probably watched that film more times than I should have done. Over the years. Once again, I had it on VHS, so...
Oh, I did as well, actually, yeah, Demolition Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Spartan, you have been fined one credit for violation of the verbal morality statute.
Your memory is so much better than mine. That's why you...
Every restaurant is Taco Bell.
Yes, it really is. Unless you're eating...
But did you know in like, Spanish countries, they changed that to Pizza Hut. I think it was Pizza Hut, because having Taco Bell everywhere just wasn't deemed to be unusual enough for them. So even though Taco Bell, I don't think really exists outside of the United States, does it?
No.
It's another just another little random fact that I've got in my brain from a book about movies that I've read at some point in the past 20 years.
It wasn't exotic enough, so they changed it to Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'll probably pick that up on Wikipedia, actually. You talk about the episode for a bit. I'm going to do some Googling again.
So, obviously, this episode ends with Q getting Miss Q up the duff. And I wonder how long Q actually carry children for. How many millennia is it?
Yeah, what's the gestation period of an omnipotent being?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Considering they're omnipotent, so they exist outside of normal space and time.
I mean, you can never judge the distance, the time between the episodes, can you? Because they could go off and do anything and then come back at a specific point in time if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it, how you could assume, although it's not implied in any of the dialogue, that actually the episodes in which he appears in aren't necessarily in that order.
No.
He could have done something later and something earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the character development would negate that. But yeah, theoretically, there's no reason why Tapestry couldn't have been one of the very first times he encountered Picard.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, right, with how they operate outside of the space-time continuum, could potentially is like the child that they have then end up becoming is there the snake eating its own tail, the Ouroboros sort of thing?
Ouroboros, yeah. Ouroboros,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a thing of could that child be Q's dad, or like just the self fulfilling prophecy sort of thing?
Yeah.
Going on. Who knows?
Nice callback to earlier on in the episode as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Red Dwarf quotes again, you see.
See,
I've just looked it up on Wikipedia. It was the European version of Demolition Man that had all lines about Taco Bell redubbed for Pizza Hut.
Oh, it's European.
Yeah.
Ah, fair enough. So,
because Taco Bell's not well known outside of the US. So anyway,
but they,
what were you going to say?
But so? they didn't redub the English. The English. We wasn't European enough to get Pizza Hut. No.
You never know. It might have been Pizza Hut in the theaters, but definitely when I was watching it at home, it was always Taco Bell.
Yeah. No. Well,
I'm pretty sure that's how I heard of Taco Bell, was through that film.
More than likely, I can't think of any earlier references than that.
Yeah.
So, and then we get our last Q episode, Q2.
This is good fun as well. Q, the final bit of his character development, you know, Q as a father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Leaving Q Jr. with Aunt Kathy.
Yeah. His son being as mischievous as he was, and he's now in the situation of being the older Q who doesn't know how to deal with the rebellious one.
Yeah.
So it's a complete role reversal from where he was at the start of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. He's definitely the guy who's towing the line for the continuum at this point.
Yeah.
So he's turned into... Go for it.
No, well, his son played by his real life son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you not know that?
No, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, he was played by, I forget his son's
name. Keegan Delancey.
And this was his last acting role, according to IMDb as well. He played a young boy in something and two choir boys in two different things. So he's obviously got, he didn't want to get typecast as a choir boy. So he was in an episode of Ally McBeal, and then he was in this, and that's his last credit.
So,
and his trivia page says, left acting and works for the US State Department. So there you go.
There you go. Fair enough. For the US Foreign Service.
Yeah.
There you go. To be honest, considering like he never pursued acting, he's done well enough.
Yeah, yeah.
For a kid actor as well.
Yeah, he was good. His mom, John Delancey's, I'm guessing, wife, was one of the, I didn't know this, was in, you know, the episode in TNG with the deaf and dumb guy? who had the three people who speak and speak for him.
Yes.
The female of those is John Delance, was John Delance's wife.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still married. It doesn't say that they've divorced or anything, so I'm going to assume. Yeah, she's been married to Q actor John Delancey since 1984.
Oh, blimey, she has been married to Q my entire life.
There you go.
I was born in 1984. So there you go.
But yeah, it's a nice bookend, isn't it, for his appearances, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good way to end his arc. Mm-hmm. To make him the sensible one and his son the mischievous one.
I tell you what, though, I thought this came a lot earlier in Voyager's run. I didn't realise it was like right at the end of season seven.
Maybe it was like, we need to get a Q episode in before the series ends.
Yeah.
What can we do? Oh, we had a kid. Let's do that.
Yeah. Or someone just thought we didn't wrap this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
again, it could be one of those ideas that's been on the table for 2 or 3 years and they just couldn't figure out how to go with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they did, because I'm looking forward to rewatching this one, because it was a good episode. Directed by LeVar Burton as well.
I mean, Echeb is in it. I'm just warning you.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, can't win them all.
No.
No. So, I'm looking forward to that. So, okay, if we had to rank the Q episodes, if we had to have a top five, okay, let's not do individual top fives. Let's do an official Trekmate top five.
Okay.
And
this is going to be, well, we're not going to agree, are we? This is going to be difficult.
Okay.
Because I know you want to put All Good Things at the top of your list, but I wouldn't put it at the top of my list. I'd put it second or third.
Okay. Well, let's discuss what ones are definitely going to be in. First of all, let's rule out the ones that aren't in the top five.
Aren't. Okay, let's do that. So Q-less is definitely not in the top five.
Yeah, Hyde and Q, I wouldn't put in the top five.
No, I wouldn't put Encounter at Farpoint in the top five either.
Well, because it's not a very, it's not all Q-heavy.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah. So that's three out of the way.
I'll put that one in. I'm not sure about any of the Voyager ones. I'm not sure if I'd put any of the Voyager ones in my top five either. All my top five would be TNGs. Maybe Death Wish, but that's the only one of the three.
Yeah, I would say maybe Death Wish as well, but I think I'll agree with you that we'll go... I think it should be TNG, because I think that is where he is at his very best.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, Death Wish is Q is good in it, but it's very much about Quinn.
Yeah.
So okay. So personally, I think All Good Things, Tapestry, Cupid. Oh no, Deja Q should definitely be in it.
Absolutely, Deja Q is my top one.
Ah, okay. That is interesting, because I was tempted to put Tapestry in. As number one, no,
Tapestry would be my number two.
Mm-hmm.
Q Who would actually be my number three. Then All Good Things.
Okay.
And then Cupid. I wouldn't have True Q in my top five, and I know you would.
I personally would have True Q in my top five.
So what would not be in your top five? Cupid then?
I'm just trying to think. It probably would be Cupid that would get left out.
Yeah.
Where would Cupid rank? No. What am I talking? I love that fucking episode.
I know exactly. That's why it's so difficult if you've got to pick five of them.
Okay. So, Deja. Okay, this is really tough because. Q. Who...
Sounds like you've got more of a relationship with some episodes as well, so that makes it more difficult for you.
Q. Who. Introduces the Borg.
That's right.
So it's obviously a pivotal TNG episode. If I was thinking of just like fun and frolics, okay. Yeah, no, I do have an emotional tie to True Q. However, do I rank it as a better episode than the others? I don't think. Okay, I think True Q has to actually get left behind.
Okay, cool. So we've got our five. We just need to figure out what order we're going to put them in.
Because as much as that pains me, because I do love True Q, it's that is probably more nostalgia for me than anything else.
Right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put my I'm going to correct I'm going to create a new Excel sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put mine in order.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll give them points. So 10 points for first.
Okay.
This 8, 6, 4, and 2.
Okay.
And then we'll do the same for yours.
Yeah.
And then the aggregated scores will be the official top five.
You can't get any fairer, Matt.
Yeah. So, you know, there may be some slight differences between what we think, but so I'll just do mine. So if you want to sort yours out into the top five while I'm doing that.
Okay. Okay. Now this is hard because I thought I had my answers in my head. But then when I think about how much I love an episode, how high it actually... Oh, okay. Okay, let me know when you've finished yours.
I've done mine.
You've done yours. Ready. Okay, for me,
yep.
I think the last one, bottom place, is going to be Q Who.
Okay.
Okay, so... second place, second from bottom, is going to be Deja Q.
Okay, interesting.
Then middle of the group is going to be Cupid.
Okay.
And then second from the top is All Good Things.
Oh, interesting.
I've talked myself out of putting All Good Things first. And top place is Tapestry.
Tapestry. Okay. So that means, once I've done my, so that means that one's got 18 points. So official Trekmate top five is in last place is Q Who with 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Then is Cupid with 8 points.
Also, how many was we ranking, giving points for last place?
2.
Okay, so you put, where did you...
It's basically, I mean, it could have been just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but for some reason I decided to start at 10, so I did 10, 6, 4, 2. So it's made no difference. But...
Okay, go on then. Sorry, I interrupted. The official Trekmate top five.
Yeah. Okay, so in 5th place with 6 points is Q Who. In 4th place with 8 points is Cupid. In 3rd place with 12 points is All Good Things.
Ooh.
In 2nd place with 14 points is Deja Q, which means that our best episode with 18 points is Tapestry.
Wow.
And you rank that first and I rank that second, so that's fair enough.
Yeah. No, that's really, really interesting. I like the way that we did that. I think...
Just trying to be fair.
We should come up with more top fives of things using this method. It's very, very fair.
Yeah.
Rather than arguing points.
The problem is, though, if this was easier because we both had the same five, it was just in a different order. But if we both had different ones and then our fifth placed ones were both different and they both only had like 2 points each, then do we put them equal fifth or what? We have to think about that.
Or if you're in that situation... You work out your own personal top tens, and then work out the top five from those scores.
Or maybe if there's a tie, you defer to like IMDb, like Metacritic or something, and just see which episode has got the higher fan rating, and just go with that one.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Oh, I've enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think that might even be worth... Now I could turn that into a YouTube video of the top five Q episodes.
I'll WhatsApp you that then.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So, no, I really enjoyed that, Matt. Thanks for joining us, mate.
That's all right, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes. So
thanks for back.
And I'm hoping that you'll be willing to join us again at some point in the future.
What's in it for me?
You get another biscuit and another glass of water.
Do I get another glimpse of sunlight outside the cupboard?
Only for another 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Yes, Master. Thank you, Master.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Matt Warwick, and that's Trekmate.
Captain's log, stardate 41153.7. Our destination is planet Deneb 4, beyond which lies the great unexplored mass of the galaxy.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Hey! Get off my bridge!
Hey!
See the newer crew in space on your color TV screen. They built a brand new TV set, if you know what I mean. Deanna to the left of me, Riker to my right. Ain't got no Kirk, ain't got no Spock, just some Romulans to fight. We're TNG on Saturday night. TNG, we're out of sight. TNG, a brand new enterprise. TNG, what a great surprise. A new crew in town, so don't you mess around. 'Cause we're TNG on Saturday night. TNG, we're out of sight. TNG, a brand new enterprise. TNG, what a great surprise.
Recognize Picard, Jean-Luc, Captain. Recognize Riker, William T., Commander.
Set auto-destruct sequence.
Does the First Officer concur?
Yes, set auto-destruct sequence. Now.
Auto-destruct will detonate in 4 minutes and 59 seconds.
You've been listening to the TrekMate podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at TrekMate1701. Make it so.